Support for this podcast comes from the Fletcher School of Global Affairs at Tufts University. To start your future as a global changemaker, you must have context across fields like international business, cybersecurity, energy policy, and more. Don't just study global affairs, shape them. Visit fletcher.tufts.edu.
This is Radio Boston. I'm Anthony Brooks.
And I'm Sasha Pfeiffer. After months of campaigning, debating, and political advertising, it's election day, and who and what wins is now up to the voters.
In the race for governor, Republican Charlie Baker and Democrat Martha Coakley both say they're pleased with the state of the race. Here's Baker, who cast his ballot this morning in his hometown of Swampscott.
I think voters, for the most part, have liked what we've had to say about improving our economy and making Massachusetts more competitive and working on the achievement gap in education and really focusing on bringing a more disciplined approach to Beacon Hill.
And here's Martha Coakley talking to reporters just after she voted this morning in her hometown of Medford.
We always knew this would be a close race. It's why from the beginning we focused on having a really good ground game, knocking on doors, going voter to voter. And I feel really good today. I think we've run a terrific campaign. My husband Tom and I have been knocking on doors and talking to people about our ideas, and we knew this would come down to who's best organized.
And so we're going to ask now what went right and what went wrong with these campaigns for governor. Plus, we're going to have a look at some of the other close contests. We're joined now by David Scharfenberg. He writes about politics for the Boston Globe. And hi, David. Really good to have you. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
So you wrote recently in the Globe, I thought you summed up this race for governor really well. You wrote that the clash is in some respects a battle of basic Massachusetts political archetypes, the progressive Irish Democrat promising an activist approach versus the moderate Yankee Republican promising spending restraint and superior management. It sounds really clear, and yet you also said that these two candidates are confoundingly unknowable in a way.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. I mean, Coakley is not your typical Irish Paul, not quite the back-slapping Paul we're used to in, you know, Teddy Kennedy, et cetera. And she's been kind of guarded on the campaign trail, as she has been in the past, hasn't quite held to firm positions in a couple of cases. So it's a little difficult to know exactly where she is on that front. But on the whole, she's presenting as kind of a classic Massachusetts liberal, really running kind of a values campaign. I'll stand up for the little people. Charlie Baker, on the other side, 4 years ago, he ran a pretty hard-edged campaign for governor. His slogan at the time was "Had Enough," right at kind of the crest of the Tea Party fervor in this country. He has dialed it back significantly in this campaign, really running as kind of a compassionate centrist, I think I wrote, a real Republican moderate. And supporters will say that that's been the true Charlie Baker all along. But still a little cognitive dissonance there, trying to figure out where he is. But I think he's largely succeeded in kind of dialing it back and presenting as that kind of classic Yankee Republican a la William Weld that this state has elected to the corner office many a time.
Turnout's going to be really, really important here. We just heard Martha Coakley there talking in Medford, talking about the ground game as being really pivotal. We always assume in Massachusetts that it's the Democrats that have the advantage in the ground game. Can you talk a little bit about that? I mean, how important is that for Martha Coakley, and is that ground game in place for her today, do you think?
Right. So go back to 2006 when Deval Patrick first ran, and his kind of right-hand man, John Walsh, put together this real grassroots campaign that thrust him into the corner office. And it's been a pretty vaunted machine since then, helped Elizabeth Warren, among others, get into office. That game was caught a little flat-footed back in 2010 when Martha Coakley lost to Scott Brown in the Senate race. And so they vowed to really go full tilt this time around. And talking to Democrats, I think the hardcore activists really were in this time. They really were knocking on doors and working for Martha Coakley, even if voters were a little lukewarm about her. I think ground game is sometimes overrated, but can be worth a couple of points. Democrats do have an advantage there. So if this is an extremely tight race, I think they will hope that can put them over the top. Republicans have typically not had a strong ground game. Charlie Baker made a real effort this time around to ramp it up. It can't match the union boots on the ground on the Democratic side, but will certainly help him a bit.
David, I want to talk to you about the 6th Congressional District, a pretty interesting race up there. Republican Richard Tesei against Democrat Seth Moulton. He's a Marine veteran. He's got a Harvard MBA. Richard Tesei, an openly gay realtor, former state senator. Your colleague Yvonne Abraham wrote this weekend that voters in the 6th District are spoiled. She says they have a choice between two moderate, fundamentally decent people who have done brave things and somehow retained their ideals. What's your view of this campaign and perhaps who has the advantage going into today?
I think it's going to be tight. Richard Tesei, 2 years ago, you may recall, ran against John Tierney, who was mired in a family gambling scandal. And I think he came back this time around hoping he'd have a real shot at knocking off Tierney. That got upended a bit when Seth Moulton beat Tierney in the Democratic primary.
Right.
All of a sudden, Moulton was the fresh face. And Tesei, who'd been around for a while as a state senator and a candidate for lieutenant governor, was running as the candidate with experience and as the moderate. You know, I think we've seen kind of a classic Democratic-Republican congressional northeastern race here. Seth Moulton and the Democrats have really tried to paint Tesei as with the brush of the national GOP brand, which of course is pretty toxic up in these parts. Tesei has pushed back and said, "Look, I'm a moderate." He's emphasized his spouse, in a way that he hadn't before, tried to kind of say, "Look, I'm not your typical Republican," and has really tried to kind of back away from that national GOP brand. You know, we have not had a professional public poll in a couple of months here, so it's hard to know. But all the chatter up there is that it's going to be very tight.
Very tight. Another very tight race north of the border with big national implications, of course, is the race for the Senate against incumbent Democrat Jeanne Shaheen. And Scott Brown, familiar, obviously, to a lot of folks in Massachusetts, running as the Republican up there. They have spent something like $37 million on that race, and that's in a state with just a million residents, about 450,000 voters. So I figured that out. That's about $82 a vote. They could have just sent everyone a check. But what's your view on that race and where that stands going in today? And what's going to make the difference in terms of who wins by the end of today?
Right. So the national backdrop, as you alluded to, the Republicans have to pick up 6 seats in the Senate if they're going to take control of that body. So a lot of national attention here. This one looks very close, too. You look back to the summertime, and Jeanne Shaheen had relatively comfortable leads over Scott Brown in the polls. Those have tightened significantly in recent weeks. A WMUR poll out on Sunday gave Shaheen just a 2-point lead. Brown had a 1-point lead in a competing poll up there. We've seen Jeanne Shaheen try to run almost as kind of mayor of New Hampshire. She's put a real focus on local issues. Mm-hmm. Barack Obama is not terribly popular up there. I think his approval rating was 37%. In this recent WMUR poll. So she's really tried to run as a someone of New Hampshire who gets kind of local needs and tried to paint Scott Brown as an outsider. Scott Brown has done all he can to counter that. He's been super energetic at every kind of local picnic and fair he can hit, really out there on the campaign trail and trying to the best he can to tie Jeanne Shaheen to Barack Obama and to raise some of the concerns about Ebola and ISIS that Republicans all over the country are raising this election season. So it's going to be very tight, I think.
Very tight. Another example of a race where local sort of the ground game is going to mean an awful lot. The Democrats in New Hampshire probably have a slightly more, much better organized game on the ground. But as you say, Jeanne Shaheen is up against a really strong anti-Obama mood up there.
That's right. That's
yeah.
right.
Well, David Scharfenberg covers politics for the Boston Globe. David, thank you so much for joining us. We appreciate
thank
it.
Thank you.
Stay with us. Coming up, a new book that claims that all the time we spend online and not interacting face-to-face with other people is actually harmful to our physical health. I'm Sasha Pfeiffer.
And I'm Anthony Brooks. This is Radio Boston.